How many of you were given one of these? How many of you wondered what on earth that's for? A few of you. Okay, we have started our 40 days of prayer and fasting leading up to Easter. And it is not too late for you to join us. This magnet, lovely magnet designed by Pastor Mitch, this lovely magnet is for your refrigerator. And you might ask, why? Why would I put this on my refrigerator? Who can tell us? As a reminder, I sometimes, I do fairly well when I'm on a fast as far as maintaining my discipline. The problem is sometimes I forget. And so Linda and I have, I think, two of them on our fridge right now. She's got hers, I've got mine, and please put yours there or wherever else it's going to help you. How many of you believe in the power of prayer? How many of you believe that there is an even greater power when we properly fast? The Bible says, speaking of spiritual power, this kind goes not forth except by prayer and fasting. We want people to come to Christ. We want God's Spirit to be tangible in our services. And the way that that will happen is if we pray that God will send His Spirit into our own hearts so that we can carry that Spirit in here with us when we come to worship. And so please do your very best. And there are a lot of different ways to fast. I want to just tell you, we don't want any of you not to eat anything for 40 days. Probably you won't make it. If you try that, Jesus was supernaturally enabled to do that. But for some of you, that fast might be having soups. For some of you, that might be limiting yourself to liquid diet and a few other things. For others of you, it might be like the Whole 30. That's a powerful fast. I've done it. For some of you, it might be like the Daniel plan and so on. There are different ways you can do it, but anything that makes you think of food is good, because you then can take that thought of food and that desire and turn that into prayer and turn that into calling after the name of God and the face of God. So you will do that? How many? We'll have a great time if we keep those commitments. So we're beginning the next series of messages today. The series is called Crosswalk, and it really has the sense of various ways in which we do. We walk with the cross of Jesus Christ. And so today we're going to begin with one of the very most well-known passages, I think, in the New Testament. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, beginning at verse 21. Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this to anyone. What did he warn them of? Not to tell them yet that he was the Son of God, that he was the Messiah. Do any of you have any idea why he wanted that to remain secret, at least for a time? Oh, I'm prepared to wait. My lovely wife is absolutely right. He maintained secrecy with this because he knew, he understood, that they would immediately seek to take his life when that word was put forth. And it was very, very important not only that Jesus die for our sins, but that he do so in the right way and at the right time. And so he strictly warned them. Now, I don't know about you, but give a little bit of thought of what it must be to be strictly warned by the Son of God. I thought it was enough to be strictly warned by my mom and dad, because there was a consequence that was going to follow when you were strictly warned if you did not heed that warning. And so he said, the Son of Man, speaking of himself, must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Truly, I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. And by the way, if anyone wonders, well, who might that have been? You might think about the Apostle John, who saw God in a powerful vision, which becomes the book of Revelation for us, while he was on the island of Patmos. He saw God. You might think about the fact that Paul, who was not one of Jesus' disciples at this point, Paul saw God on the road to Damascus. And it would be, for us, an overwhelming spiritual experience to truly see God. But I would suggest that you can see God. I would suggest that you do not have to see him with physical eyes to be able to see him with spiritual eyes and to comprehend him, because God wants to make himself known to us. All of us must make a choice to follow. Jesus' words, we're going to parse it, break it down. Whoever wants to be my disciple. Choosing to follow Jesus is completely voluntary. Not everything I've done in my life has been completely voluntary. Getting married for me, that was completely voluntary. I think it was a good decision. Aaron and Josh think it was a great decision. But there have been some decisions in my life not so voluntary. This is that time of year, many of you are getting tax refunds. How many of you have already gotten your tax refund? What? I've got mine. Oh, I filed those things. I filed them early on. As soon as it hit my hands, it was right back out the door. So I feel sorry for you. I've got my refund. I don't mind getting the refund, but there's something that happens before you get the refund. You pay it. You feel like they're giving you money. Oh, no. They're only returning to you a small part of what you have given them. And so I guess I'll ask it this way. How many of you gave your taxes? Voluntarily. You were excited. you are excited to pay those taxes. No, not everything is voluntary, but following Jesus is. I sometimes wish it wasn't. And here's why I say that. I think everybody ought to be following Jesus. I think that your life will be so much better if and when you choose to follow Jesus, that I wonder at times why God has given us a choice. But I know myself, and I like choices. I like the fact that I am free to choose God. I am free to choose not to follow God. And that is every one of us. You're free. You can choose. Whoever wants to be my disciple, choosing to follow Jesus is not forced or thrust on any of us. I don't think I understood that as a boy, because for me, for quite a while growing up, going to church, that was not free and voluntary. My dad was the pastor. Of course I was going to go. I even tried to sneak out on occasion. Didn't work out so well. Probably if we have a number of youngsters here, not everyone would say they are here today voluntarily. But while someone can perhaps make you or force you in some kind of way, coerce you to going to church, no one can force you to follow after Jesus. I know people who have been in church just about every Sunday of their lives who don't know Jesus. I made a comment, I think a week ago, maybe two, but I shared that, you know, simply being in church doesn't truly make you a Christian any more than walking the halls of a hospital makes you a doctor. Choosing to follow Jesus comes from an inner desire that longs to be His. Do you have it? Do you have that inner desire? Jesus said, "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it." I want my life to be saved. I want my wife's life to be saved, and my kids, my grandson. I want your life to be saved. I hate to see death, spiritually as well as physically. Death and I don't get along. It's taken too much from me. Taken too much from the people I love. Spiritual death is far worse than physical death. Physical death is for a while. Spiritual death is forever. Choosing to follow Jesus is an act of surrender. Jesus said, "They must deny themselves. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves." Deny themselves what? Deny themselves at least some of what naturally in the flesh you would like. That's one of the great benefits, again, of fasting. You deny yourself. You like to eat. I like to eat. Have any of you ever happened to be in Kenny's when I have come in on a candy run? I've found I am not the only man who does candy runs. Let's be honest out here, guys. How many of you on occasion do candy runs? That's right. I go in there and I go up that candy aisle and I look, and it's like I want one of everything. Not true. I want more than one of everything. And so for me, if I don't have candy, chocolate, candy, the pressure builds. The strain begins to build up within me until the time comes that I can't take it any longer. I've got to have it. What am I going to do? I'm going to yield. I'm going to get rid of that craving. Linda knows this drill. She's heard this now for 35 plus years. I will say, don't take me too literally right now. I will say, there's only but one way to get rid of that craving. That's to eat lots and lots and lots of candy. Thank you, Colonel, for the honesty and the affirmation. So giving it up isn't an easy thing for me. Just stopping cold turkey isn't an easy thing for me. But it's something I have to do on occasion. There are things in life that are far more difficult to give up than chocolate candy. There are things that God wants you to occasionally walk away from, to give up, to sacrifice for Him, because to serve God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you simply must. And the more you love it, the more likely it is that you are going to be asked by God at some point in your life to give it up. Because God will not have us loving anything more than Him. So we must deny ourselves. You must, Jesus' words in the New Living Translation, you must give up your own way. Giving up your own way in a broad sense is even more difficult than giving up some thing. Giving up your own way is giving up that ability of having things the way you want them in every area of your life. And many of you have studied, you have learned, you have applied yourself to learning how to get what you want. How many of you are at least fairly good at getting what you want? How many of you have ever said, if I want it, I get it? I saw at least one hand go up. And so God has to do a work in us to help us get away from our self-will of simply doing what we want to do when we want to do it and to attain what it is that we want. There is an exchange that must take place if we are going to choose to follow Jesus. A voluntary choice to give up my way for His way. And the only way to pick up the cross is to let go of my own personal desires. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, we read, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, as we continue to parse it down, choosing to follow Jesus is a daily decision. He said, you must take up their cross daily. And so, choosing to follow Jesus has a beginning. I don't know when you chose to follow Jesus, but my faith journey actually began on November 20th, hold your hats, kids, of 1975. A long time ago. But I find that choosing to follow Jesus has to be reinforced by me, by a renewed decision each day. The fact of the matter is, and I've had people dispute me on this, so if you want to, you can, but the fact of the matter is, God has left me a free will. I could choose to stop following Jesus. Now, I want you to know I'm not going to. But I could. I could decide that I want to go back to having things done my way. I could decide that I'm simply not willing to allow God to direct my life any longer. I could make shipwreck of my faith. So could you. You could decide not to follow him. Some one of you might say, but I have a lot of years invested. Yes, but you could still decide not to follow after Jesus. You might say, well, I've come too far now. But you could still decide, like some foolish people do, to take on a different attitude and to say, well, if I'm going to live for myself, I only have but a few short years to do it, I'd better do it now. If you're tempted to think that way, I have another thought for you. Since it's only going to be a few short years, how about you continue to follow Jesus and receive the reward of that faithfulness in heaven in just a few short years? How about you avoid going ahead and throwing all of eternity away for a few fleeting and momentary pleasures that at your age probably aren't going to do you that much good anyway? I can say it because I'm past 60. Seriously, I have to make a decision again every day of my life. I have temptations every day of my life. I have the opportunity of sinning every single day. Choosing to follow Jesus is voluntarily choosing to give up my own will and surrendering to his will each day. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, I'm going to sidebar just for a moment. Some of you wonder why you have a hard time finding God's will. You did notice in that verse, Romans 12:2, what it says and the order in which it says it. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. You see, not before, only after the mind has been transformed. So we must follow Jesus and no other, because he said, and follow me. We put the emphasis usually on follow. Perhaps we ought to put it on the word me. Choosing to follow Jesus means I am choosing to follow only one leader. Ultimately, it's Jesus. I have kind of intermediate leaders. I have a district superintendent. I have a general superintendent, both of whom I have great respect for. They're leaders. Some of you are leaders in my life and in various ways and so on. But ultimately, it all comes down to him. Because if I have to choose between following after any one of you and following after him, I'm not following you, I'm following him. And he asks the same thing of you. Choosing to follow Jesus knows I am no longer directing my own life. Choosing to follow Jesus means I am willing to go wherever he leads me. Chuck gave a great missions moment a few minutes ago. I'm going to just pick up on this with our missions. So one of the missionaries that we support is Tracy. Tracy has been at an undisclosed location in Central Asia now for roughly 15 years, ministering among Muslim people. Tracy, to my knowledge, is home in Michigan right now. Her father-in-law passed away this past week. And I think that her husband, Mark, probably really felt the distance at that point. When Dad passed away and he was unable to be there at his dad's bedside. But they both have made a decision to follow after Jesus. And they both understand that that means that they are not directing their own lives. Choosing to follow Jesus means I am willing to go wherever he leads me. I never expected Tracy to end up in Central Asia. I never expected Tracy to be an all-American cross-country runner. I never expected her to do a lot of things that she has done in her life. If you know the story, she was our babysitter. We were hers, then she was ours. But she's chosen to follow after him, and that's what people who have chosen to follow Jesus do. They do crazy stuff. People who choose to follow Jesus sometimes sell all they have and give it to the poor. When Jesus asked that rich young ruler to do that, he wasn't asking him to do something that no one else was ever going to be asked to do. Choosing to follow Jesus for some means choosing to walk away from their career, from their occupation, and to do something different that God has blessed and that God has ordained. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. What will your choice be? Joshua spoke to this in chapter 24 and verse 15 in the Old Testament of your Bible, thousands of years ago. He called the people there of Israel that he was leading to make a choice. Quote, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. So what about you? Are you willing to give up your own will? Are you willing to choose daily his plan for your life, even if it costs? Are you willing to take a place of surrender as an act of love for Jesus and for others? And are you willing to make this choice, even if you have to do it alone? Had someone ask me a question a couple of weeks ago. They said, do you ever find yourself feeling disillusioned by the choices other people make? Do you ever find yourself wondering why they're not living the way God wants them to live? Do you ever think that there are people that you know that live hypocritical lives? What would your answer to that be? No, what would it be? Yeah, sure do. That's right, sure do. And the question then was asked, how do you deal with that? And my answer was, I dealt with that on the front end before I came to Christ, because that was a stumbling block for me and I had to deal with it. And here was my decision. When I stand before God, I'm going to be standing there by myself. No one else is going to matter at that point. It's going to be me and it's going to be God, and he's going to want to know what I did with what I knew of him. And the same is true for you. What will you do with what you know of Jesus? Here's what I know. I know he loves me. I know he died for me. I know that he is my friend. I know that he is my guide. I know that he has said he will never leave me or forsake me, and he never has. I know that I am never alone, whatever situation I am in, because he is with me. And I know that what I have experienced in my life, many other people have, possibly you have, and I know that God wants everyone to experience that same thing. So what about you? Do you choose to take up your cross and to walk with him? And someone might say, but I don't know where it will lead. That's part of the adventure of life. You don't know where it will lead. But ultimately, it will lead to him. And where he is, I want to be also. I'd like you to stand with me as we come toward a close. Some of you have heard the truth today of God's word in a very general sense. All right, follow after Jesus, yada, yada, yada. And some of you have heard it in a very specific sense, because you're wrestling with something, you're grappling with it, and God has put his finger right exactly on that thing in your life. And so it becomes for you a very personal thing. Will you take up his cross and follow after him? No one else can decide that for you. If I could, I would, but I can't, and so you must. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would softly and tenderly speak to our hearts, if that is what our hearts need. And I pray that you would speak a bit more firmly into our lives, if that is what our hearts need. I pray that you would give each of us a heart need. I pray that what we need, we would also desire. But if we can't have both what we desire and what we need, I pray you would give us what we need instead. I just ask that you will take control and take residency in someone's heart today, and that they would recognize from this day forward that they are yours and not their own. You've said in your word that we are not our own. We have been bought with a price. And that price was a very high price, the price of your blood, the price of your suffering. And so I pray we would not dishonor that, and we would not ignore that great salvation, but that we would call upon you today. Is God calling upon you? If he is, why don't you just do that thing where you raise your hand up a little bit, just enough for me to see, so I can be praying for you. I see that. Are there others? I see that. Yep. Heavenly Father, you're speaking to some people. I pray that they would not walk away and ignore the opportunity that you have given them to make the best decision of their life, but that they would make the best decision of their life, and that they would invite you into their heart and invite you to take control, complete control of all of their life, that they would take up that cross and follow after you. I pray that they would ask you for that. I pray that they would lay their will down to you and ask you to take complete control. And I ask that you would, and that you would enable them to give testimony to that fact. Lord, we thank you for all of your blessings, for your kindness, and for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.